Well, good morning. God is good. Oh, come on now. You got to say it like you mean it. God is good. There you go. There you go. You know, Sunday mornings, we got to kind of attack the morning here. Sometimes you sneak up on some mornings. Other days, you just got to get into it. Amen? Amen? Right. So we're here. We're privileged to be here, blessed to be here. Thankful for this facility, thankful for one another. If you haven't already done so, why don't you find someone around you, put a smile on your face and say, I'm glad you're here. Just find someone around you. I'm glad you're here, right? And so we're going to start with a kind of a classic song. It's just a great song, Shout to the Lord. It's a song of celebration. It's a song that you kind of wake up in your morning like, everyone take a deep breath. You know what? It's another day of life, amen? That is plenty of cause to shout to the Lord and sing this as a song of celebration. So why don't we stand together and let's just sing this as a song of celebration and thanksgiving.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise. Nothing, oh, nothing compares to the promise. Nothing, oh, nothing compares to to the promise I have in you.
Good morning, church. That's enthusiastic. You may be pleasantly seated in your comfortable chairs. I want to welcome you all that are joining us here in the well today, the masses that are joining us streaming on live, everybody at Triple C, people that will watch this later, welcome to the Lord's service today. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your presence. You promise us your presence and you deliver each time. You're here in our midst. We're here to hear your word and your truth. We are eternally grateful for your free gift of salvation and the promise of eternity with you with the Father in heaven. We pray these things in your name. Amen. It is that time where our very special volunteers in charge of looking after our beautiful children and grandchildren are awaiting at the back door. So children, what time is it?
Kingdom kids.
Right on. As they make their way out, not paying any attention to tripping you or fouling you up, safely seated. You never know. Oh, there's one went down right there. It's okay. You're going to make it. Everything's good. Right on. Hey, we'll just delve right into announcements. I lead the men's ministry here at the Well, and we've got a number of events coming up through the calendar for this year, the first of which is a Solely Business men's retreat that you've heard about the last several weeks off and on. A number of men in the body that have participated in this ministry that are more than happy to share with you regarding what goes on there, the experience of just spending time with our Father. The second being the M24, which is on September 7th and 8th in Tehachapi. That is a camp out. Both of these are men-only trips. Again, if you have any questions about that, it's free. The Solely Business does have a price point investment in it. But the Tehachapi event, the M24, is 24 hours with the Father. Bring your young sons, but it is for the boys. And it is a great time. And I encourage you to make that put on your schedule. And lastly, for June 15th, it's not just for the men. It's a family night. But men being called as spiritual leaders of their families will lead the charge for their families as we migrate into Chavez Ravine for Dodger Night, again, June the 15th. So this is a special time where lots of stuff happens. I put together a smattering, tiny one of pictures just on my phone of various things. Folks, this is a great time. Tickets are available amply. Kathy Wilcox, Pastor Bill, they've bought tickets. If you want to know how to get them online, it's really a great time. We're going to be on the top deck in section 9. Oh, whoa. That burger's got hot dogs in it in addition to the beef. So shamelessly, that made the cut. And you never know who you're going to meet at Dodger Stadium if you go wandering around. So there are really all kinds of possibilities there. But oh, and you can wear fan attire for anybody. You won't be shamed or chased out of the building. So all is good on that front. So you never know what can happen at this ballpark. But we have a ministry there that we've had for a number of years, and we encourage the church family to participate and come along with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Randy. Really appreciate you facilitating those events for not just the men, but the families. I've enjoyed a few games and a few of the refreshments at Dodger Stadium with Randy, so yeah, it's a great night. Ladies, also for women's ministry, we have a couple events coming up. Spa Day, April 27th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. here. $10, I am told that there are only 12 spots remaining. So there's a sign-up sheet out there, and you can sign up online. It's going to be just a wonderful morning into the afternoon of just the ladies enjoying being together and whatever spa-ing entails. I think it's going to be wonderful. Also, ladies, two Bible studies are beginning. One tomorrow, April 15th, 10 a.m. They're going to go through the Psalms. And then Tuesday night series starts April 23rd, 7 p.m. They'll be going through the Book of Ruth and more information on the website. So really encourage you, not just great to get into the Word and study the Word together, but it's fellowship. And it's sharing lives and prayer requests and the highs and lows of the journey of life together. So great Bible studies, women, for you to get involved with. And then for the Utes, the middle schoolers and high schoolers, a little while ago, was that, Jordan, a week ago, Friday? They had an all-nighter. And they went out to Santa Clarita, did some laser tag. They wanted to do go-karting, but unfortunately that was when it was raining, so they got to stand in line in front of the go-karts and dream about what it would have been like. But I hear they got vouchers. So then they came back here, and they literally stayed up. I was here for a few hours from like 10 to midnight, and that's about, I call it good at midnight these days. But great, great fun. You know, Jordan and Shiloh and the team, you guys just do a great job, especially in today's culture. Yes. You know, in today's culture, everything happening in the schools and just in Teenville as a whole, for these kids to have a night of just fun, enjoyment, safety, and just being kids, just playing games. And, you know, it was just so fun to see that for a few hours here. So thank you, Jordan, and your crew for being faithful to this generation. They are firing up youth again this Wednesday. So you can see Jordan and Shiloh and about that if you have questions, but youth will be starting again this Wednesday. And then finally, we announced this last Sunday, and I just want to, again, put it on your calendars. We have a wonderful memorial coming up for our dear sister Kimber, and that'll be Saturday, May 4th at 2 p.m. So you're all invited to that, and it's just going to be a wonderful celebration of life and just a testimony to God's grace and, you know, just his faithfulness and goodness. So put that on your calendar, and we'd love to have you join us, okay? Before we continue worship, let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you're doing here at this local church. Lord, the relationships, the lives that are shared, Lord, the things you're doing in transforming us more and more into the image of Jesus, even through events like Dodger games and spa day and Bible studies, it's all part of your work. It's all part of kingdom work. It all matters because people matter to you. So, Father, we just want to pause and say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, even in Kingdom Kids, right now, and pouring into the next generation of people who, Lord willing, will be sitting in these chairs as adults with their kids. How incredible is that, to think about generations sitting in this place, hearing about Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your provision. And, Father, as we turn our attention to you once again through song, Lord, we know that worship is so much more than just singing. It's really responding to you. It's really from the heart, an expression of love, an expression of gratitude, an expression of even reverence and holiness, Lord, that comes from deep within as we consciously choose to be aware that we are in the presence of God, our Father. So, Father, thank you that we can do this. We pray for the other churches in the valley this morning, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up in the Ojai Valley, that souls would be saved, that your kingdom work would continue throughout all of Ojai. So we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. So Father, be pleased with our worship. Be pleased with everything that happens this morning, and we'll always give you the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Why don't we stand together?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. Whatever may pass and whatever my soul worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons from my heart to find.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Bless the Lord, soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
Bless the Lord,
bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. I worship.
Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the rain. And Father, as we have gathered today, we just pray that you will come and dwell in our presence, and that you will speak to us, and as we hear from your word, pray that you will teach us to love you, teach us to worship you, and I pray for everything that's happening afterwards as we spend time together as a community. We pray that you will be with us and that your grace and love and joy will be among us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. You may be seated. We're going to have an opportunity to worship through song a little later towards the end. We're going to do something a little bit different because we want to jump right into the word this morning. This past Thursday night, I had the opportunity with Josie and Aubrey and my wife, Nadine, and Tyler. We went down and we did the chapel at Teen Challenge, and we've done that for several years now, and we go down every so many months, maybe once a quarter, once every 2 quarters. And I really enjoy going to Teen Challenge for the chapels, because when I go there, you know, we lose all the trappings of churchdom, and it's not Sunday, it's Tuesday night, and it's kind of raw. It's in a room where they have chapel. Sometimes they clear out the cafeteria after dinner, and we set up in there. But I really love going there because there's just this rawness to this simplicity. And if you're familiar with Teen Challenge, you know, the ladies have come through some very challenging situations and circumstances in life to have ended up there. And I really encouraged them and edified them and just, you know, wanted to really bless them for the decision to join the program. But when I go, I really enjoy it because there is a simplicity to that chapel service. When we sing, we brought a guitar, and there's Josie and I, man. I love, because there's, 20, 30 women in there. And when you start, they join. And in fact, it was funny because they actually changed one of the songs as we were going. We were going to have a bit of an interlude, but they just decided that it was time for the verse. So I said, okay, we're just going, and I'm just changing on the fly with them. But there is this incredible give and take, and this incredible, I don't say energy, but just Holy Spirit is there. And it's so refreshing for me because there is a simplicity to it. We worship, and Thursday we didn't have any amplification, and you know, I get behind a wooden pedestal like this, and we're dealing with the heat and the wind's blowing in and out a little bit, and it's just worship and the word. And there's a wonderful response at times, because I'll say something that maybe many of us who have grown up in the church take as pretty basic, and yet where these ladies are, it really hits home. And you get a resounding amen or something like that from many of them, because this simple truth is what they needed to hear, the simplicity of it. And I thought of that in light of what we talked about last Sunday. And we talked about last Sunday how in our lives we tend to, if we're not careful, overcomplicate things. You know, we can overcomplicate, whether it's business or in relationships or in life, we can overcomplicate it. We can almost overthink. And I shared last Sunday, where does this come from? Well, you know, there's something that we're wired, it's called a complexity bias. And what this complexity bias says is that as humans, we tend to give more weight to things that appear more complicated, more complex. We consider them superior. So you come into, you know, you hear someone speak and you don't understand a thing they said. It might be a professor in class or something, but because it's so complex, you're like, that dude's smart. Whoa. And we tend to, with this complexity bias, consider things complex superior and things that are simple inferior, right? And then we even looked at last Sunday, this overcomplicating of things in our life, we might kind of have some motives behind it, because if we overcomplicate things, what does that allow us to do? Keep kicking things down the road? Well, let me think about that. I need to analyze that more. Right? And so sometimes overcomplicating things can be a diversion for us to keep procrastinating and not do what we want to do. Overcomplicating can also be a way for us to honestly just avoid, kind of like procrastination, but we might be insecure, might be fearful of doing something. So again, we kind of intentionally or unintentionally overcomplicate it. Well, let me think about that. I'm not so sure, right? How many of you have had to make a decision and you have overcomplicated it to the point where you can't even make a decision anymore? Paralysis of overanalysis. You're like, oh my gosh, every scenario is worst case. Anyone? Right? And deep down, you know, kind of all you need to do is take a step and get moving. Right? But we overthink it, we overcomplicate it to the point where we can't even take one baby step so the Lord can start to guide us. And the reason we don't want to maybe take that baby step is we're scared. And so we can kind of create this overcomplicated issue to either procrastinate or just not be confronted with overcoming fears and insecurities, right? And so I was thinking of that, and then we talked about last week, you know, the simplicity of really following Jesus. Now, it's not, there's a difference between it being simple and easy, okay? I'm not saying it's easy, because our walk is supernatural. When you come to faith in Jesus, you are indwelt by who? The Holy Spirit. That is just not an aside. The Holy Spirit is not there just in case you need him. The Holy Spirit is a person, right? It's the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is there because we are dependent 100% of the time on the Holy Spirit, on God's grace to follow Jesus. Amen? Okay, so we're going to start this series, and you know, some of you are familiar with the acronym KISS, K-I-S-S, right? For us, for the next few weeks, KISS is going to mean keep it supernaturally simple, right? And last week in Titus, we saw that the first
the first, if you want to call it the first part of KISS, was say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. Right? There it is. And we looked at this last week. Sounds simple enough, right? This week, did you choose to say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness? Supernaturally simple, right? Right? You know? Not overcomplicated. And this is the point, is that I want us over the next few weeks, in some ways, to supernaturally simplify your walk. Supernaturally simplify it. So last week, go ahead and Jordan, put that back up again. Last week, to keep it supernaturally simple, hey, you know what? How do I follow Jesus? Say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. In the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all you got to do. Right? Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but when you simplify it, it starts to peel back all the excuses and all the, you know, but what abouts, and pretty much if you keep it simple, you realize, man, there's really no wiggle room. I got to make some decisions. It's now my choice, right? Simplifying things weeds out a lot of the excuses and a lot of the smoke that we blow as a way of avoiding what we know we need to do, right? And I talked about, you know, someone who's maybe dealing with the issue of pornography. And so you bring that into say no to ungodliness, yes to godliness. Okay, the simple truth. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying say no to turning on your internet and going there. Just say no to that. Say no to that website. Say no to that whatever. Say yes to being in the Word. Say yes to godly influences in your life. It's simple. There's a simplicity, and then there's an empowering. Amen? Because you realize, wait, I can choose that. And every time you say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness, you glorify God. Every time you say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness and the power of the Holy Spirit, it gets easier. It becomes, that becomes the habit. Because before we were believers, what did we do? We were blind and we were slaves to sin. So it was yes to sin. Yes, 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 right? You come to faith. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You see sin for what it is. Now, sanctification is more and more just saying no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. Amen? Simple. Supernaturally simple, right? So today we're going to kind of move forward. And the next part, if you want to call it part two, of keeping it supernaturally simple is do all to the glory of God. Kind of a churchy phrase. Kind of cliche, but we're going to see the simplicity of this can profoundly change your life even before you leave here. Do all to the glory of God. Our foundational verse today is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Apostle Paul says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. Now, that's simple. I mean, there's a simplicity, right? You don't need like no Greek and Hebrew. Read that. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, the glory of God, to glorify God, means to honor God, to rightly manifest who He is, His character in your life, right? And the challenging part, Jordan, you can leave that verse up, is says, do all to the glory of God. So here's the thing. Sometimes we think, oh, that's simple, and we just, again, that complexity bias. I'm going to challenge you right now. Don't let that come in, and don't let you dismiss. Oh, yeah, do all to the glory of God, whatever I do. Okay, so in the last 24 hours, how conscious have you been of doing everything to the glory of God? Now, look what the Apostle Paul, he brings it down to eating and drinking. How many of us this morning said, I'm going to have breakfast to the glory of God? I'm going to drink my fifth cup of coffee to the glory of God this morning, right? In the men's group, right? We're going to have donuts afterwards to the glory of God. What, right? Paul, in this simple statement, challenges us at a deep heart level. What are you living for? Whose glory? Right? And the crazy thing is that this verse eliminates any distinction between the sacred and the secular, between churchiness and my life. If we're going to, what it says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What that means is the totality of my life and the totality of your life is to be done to the glory of God. There is no division. There is no compartmentalizing between my life and now I'm a Christian. And I, let me help you to kind of understand this. I grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition. And as young as I, as far as I can remember, went to Mass. Did everything I was supposed to do. Got confirmed, did everything. But honestly, I lived a divided life. I did everything I needed to do in the Roman Catholic tradition, right? Followed the best as I can as far as what the church wanted to do. We went to Mass, da-da-da-da-da. But quite honestly, when church was done, well, okay, thank you, Ernie. Wahoo. I mean, kind of wahoo. Yeah, okay, wahoo. When church was done, that compartment was closed until we went to church again. But the rest of the time, 6 3/4 of the days of the week, was wahoo. Okay, wahoo. What can I call that? Wahoo. Wink, wink, right? It was all about me. It was the secular self. But when I went to church, it was sacred, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, you know what? If we're, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, there is no more division. Whatever you do is sacred. Because whatever you do should be done to the glory of God. In your marriage, with your relationship with your parents, with your relationship with your kids, at school, on your sports teams, how you handle your time, your money, everything. Do all to the glory of God. It's funny, people look at me and what I get to do, I've been privileged to do for 30 years in full-time. Oh yeah, you're a full-time pastor. You're in full-time ministry. Well, technically, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says every believer is in full-time ministry. Every believer is in full-time ministry. So welcome to my world. It's like funny, I had to get used to this, especially, you know, San Diego's a big city, so you don't really see people during the week too much, right? Here, you know, I go down to Costco when we first got here, and I had to get used to people recognizing me. And then like saying across the men's aisle, hey, Pastor Richie! I'm like, you know, was I just arguing with my wife? What did they just see, you know? Because in my world, because I have this title of pastor and I have accepted that full-time ministry opportunity, you know, I live what we call in a fishbowl, right? You go to July 4th at Nordoff, you walk around, you know, there is no turning it off in many people's eyes, and I get it, and I appreciate it. I'm always Pastor Richie, and there's a weightiness to that, you know, and what I say and what I think and what I do, you know, what I buy and not buy in the Vons line, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, look at Pastor Richie. Wonder what he bought today. Oh, my gosh, really? That's my world. That's the fish tank I live in. But according to 1 Corinthians 10:31, you're all in there with me. You're all in the aquarium. Because we are to do everything for the glory of God. Amen? We're all in full-time ministry. Wherever you are, especially if you have professed to be a believer, people are watching and they're listening. The question is, in the smallest detail of your life, are you doing it for the glory of God? Right? There is no sacred and secular. There is no big or little. It says, do all to the glory of God. Right? It's not gearing up for a big mission trip and then, oh, this is just. There is no big and there is no, this is just. Do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. How would that change your approach to your relationships? How would that change your approach to how you handle your money, your time? It might just make some of us pause. It might just even ask us the question, Lord, how can I glorify you? I've got 3 hours this afternoon. How can I glorify you? It doesn't mean you won't rest. It doesn't mean you won't watch the rest of the Masters or whatever you're going to do, right? But we sometimes, again, inadvertently slide into, oh, it's my time. But we're to do all to the glory of God. Even watch the Dodgers. The question is that on your heart? Is that part of your perspective in life? That's the point of the verse. I love this quote by Charles Swindoll. In living out the Christian life, we have one all-important objective, to glorify God in our body. When you operate your life from this perspective, it changes everything. That is why it is so important to view every day, sun up to sundown, from the spiritual dimension. When we do, we begin to realize that nothing is accidental, coincidental, meaningless, or insignificant. Things that happen to us are under our Lord's supervision because we are His, and we are to glorify Him regardless. See, the simplicity of this verse is so profound because it radically changes how you view everything from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. Everything is to be done to the glory of God. Right? I remember in youth ministry in San Diego, we would pick up kids and take them. Our church was in a part of San Diego called Claremont, and sometimes we'd pick up kids all over San Diego to bring them to Bible study. And I remember driving on the freeway at the speed limit because I had a bunch of teenage boys in my car. And I was like, okay. You know, and of course, after a while, they get comfortable, so they start to give you, you know, a little bit of the business. Like, come on, man. What are you doing? Everyone's passing us. And you know what I would do when they started to give me the business? I would just start to go slower. Oh, they would hate that. And go into the right lane, the slow lane. Come on, man. What? I didn't hear you. What? But even in that small detail, I was aware that it was important what I was role modeling to these teenage boys who were going to be driving soon, the speed at which I was taking them to Bible study. Detail, right? It's important. It matters, especially to the generation coming up. They're watching. They want to know what it is to be a follower of Jesus, right? Even in the smaller details, even in your house, even in your house. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I love this verse because if you read it, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that, everyone say so that. That's what they call a term of purpose, okay? So the result is, that's a purpose statement. So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So here's the challenge of this simple do all to the glory of God. It's not about you. It's not about your glory. It's not about you or me getting pats on the back. We are to live, according to Matthew 5:16, go ahead and put that up, Jordan. Again, we are to let our light shine before them so that they may see your good works and go, praise God. Not, oh, Bill, you're so holy. Oh, Ernie, I wish I could be just like you. Right? We don't follow Jesus so that people start to give us the accolades, give us the praise, give us the attaboy, attagirl, you know, rah rah, sis boom ba. You're so holy, you're so godly, you pray so good, you sing so good, you're so gifted. It's not about us. We are to live our lives in such a way that God gets all the glory. Amen? Now, I shared with the ladies a teen challenge. Why is that challenging even in the church? Because we live in a self-centered culture. A me-centered culture and what's in it for me. So even in church, we come and we hope to get something for me. I hope I get a good message. I hope I enjoy the singing. I hope I get. And it's very self-centered and self-serving. If you're going to live a life that glorifies God in all that you do, you got to die to yourself. And you got to rejoice when God gets the glory. You got to rejoice when someone looks at you and says, dude, I remember you used to have a potty mouth and you were this and you part. And man, praise God. You should be jumping for joy when someone gives glory to God for this, what they see in your life. That's the whole point. Is we are to be transformed to give God the glory. It's not about us. I love what John MacArthur says. It says, it's as simple as this. For a believer, for a true believer, you are not the explanation for your life. You're not it. People may poke around to try to figure out why you are the way you are. There isn't a human answer. There's no human explanation for me being who I am. I am not the explanation of my life. God in me is the explanation of my life. Amen? Remember the Apostle Paul? By the grace of God, I am what I am. You should, if someone comes up to you and says, I've seen so much difference in you, and you just go, yeah, I know, it's crazy, isn't it? That's just God. Amen? How many of you would celebrate God changing you? Go ahead. Right? And if someone says, how did you do it? You'd be like, God. That's what you should. It is God. Under the new covenant, you are born again. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Your life should be unexplainable. You should be so transformed that people are like, I don't get it. How did you do that? And you're like, grace of God, power of the Holy Spirit. Right? It gives God the glory. John 15:8, look what Jesus says. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So according to Jesus, how is God glorified? We bear fruit. Your life. Your life glorifies God. Back to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Is your purpose fundamentally to glorify God in everything you do? That will radically change your entire perspective on this planet for your remaining days. If you let that simple truth permeate from here to here, if you begin to live every day to the glory of God, what would it do? What would it change in how you speak? What would it change in what you watch on TV, on the internet? What would it change in where you spend your free time and your money? If you literally were living to the glory of God so that God gets the glory. It would be awesome. Revolutionary. Right? You have what one pastor called a transcendent cause. The glory of God is the big why in your life. Why do you do that? The glory of God. Why don't you cheat on your taxes? The glory of God. Right? Why don't you cuss anymore? The glory of God. Why do you listen to your parents? The glory of God. Right? You bring the glory of God into the details of your life. But many of us, again, we may inadvertently have compartmentalized my life, my everyday routine stuff, and then the big God stuff. Singing up here, attending church. No, your whole life. It's your whole life, right? We had a young couple when we first started youth ministry, high school ministry in San Diego. You know, it was a big youth group, 100-plus kids. And in those youth groups, you know, certain students tend to find each other attractive and start dating and all that kind of thing within the youth group. So we had this young couple. I love them, JP and Kelly. And they came, they started dating. And JP, I think he was newer to the Lord, and Kelly kind of grew up in the church. But they came, and they liked each other, and they came. We had a good relationship. So they came to the leaders about this dating thing. And I'll never forget this. And now they're married, and they have a bunch of kids, and you know they're living in San Diego. But we challenged them in their dating to glorify God in their high school dating relationship as believers. Are you guys praying together? Are you reading the Bible together? As high schoolers, what we wanted to do in discipling them in their dating relationship was to put God first. Amen? Not just date like every other high school couple, but because they were both professing believers, our challenge and our question to them was, how are you going to glorify God in this relationship? What are you going to put in place to glorify God in this relationship? And it was so great to see them actually do that. As high schoolers, I think they first started in what, they're juniors, sophomores, juniors. They're praying together. They're reading the Bible together. They want accountability because they understood and they were united in their desire to glorify God in their dating relationship. How awesome is that? They get that. They get that, right? And so there's a simplicity to this, and I want to encourage you, don't just gloss over it. The simplicity can almost be a trap. And there's also another trap that I'm gonna forewarn you, and if it happens, just know that I told you. See, we're in this sermon series, right? Keep it supernaturally simple. And the challenge for me on the teaching under this is to keep it supernaturally simple. Because I know in the world of church and Sermonville, many of you think that it's a deep sermon if I get really complex and I tell you about the Greek and I get into it and I go long, like long sermons or good sermons. Some of you say that. Some of you attempt to stay awake, but even in the world of church, if the pastor goes long and it's deep and it's da-da-da-da, that word deep, right? Somehow, and it's over complex, and I didn't really understand half of what he said, but it sounded really good, right? I'm going to forewarn you right now. Moving ahead in our Keep It Supernaturally Simple series, the sermons, there's a high likelihood they're going to be much shorter than you're used to around here. Now, before you say amen, I know some of you are like, would that amen have glorified God? Just kidding, you know? Because here's the thing. I could overcomplicate 1 Corinthians 10:31. Jordan, if you can put up 1 Corinthians 10:31 again. See, if I'm not careful, I could overcomplicate that. I could tear it apart word by word. I can give you the context. I can give you the Greek background. I could do that. I'm not going to do that because that would almost let some of you off the hook because you would start to focus on the Greek and the just read it. So, yes, the sermons are probably going to be shorter by design because the real question is, what are you going to do with it? I'm intentionally not going to overcomplicate it because, again, I would actually be doing a disservice to you, right? Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Yeah, you can't really overcomplicate that. Now, that can hit, that's a zinger for me, and I'm pretty sure if you're really listening and you're open-hearted, if you review the last 7 days of your life, and you ask yourself, did I do everything to the glory of God the last 7 days? Some of us might be starting to shrink down in our chairs. Some of us might be realizing, oh my gosh, I really do compartmentalize the sacred and the secular. Oh my gosh, I really do the big things for God, but the little details I just take for granted and just say, like, yeah, it's fine. Doesn't matter, right? There's a simplicity that just zings us with that verse. But I will give you an example. Again, this is part of our progressive sanctification. Okay, so we're all in this together, all right? So just turn to the person next to you and say, be patient with me. I'm a work in progress. Good, I'm a work in progress, right? Be patient with me. All right. Because I'm going to guess that there is not one person here or online or whenever you watch this 10 years down the road, there's not one person who would say, in the last 24 hours, I did everything to the glory of God. I'm pretty sure I can confidently say there's not a one. It doesn't mean that's not our desire. Amen? What we're talking about is a heart issue here. We're talking about, is this your heart's desire? Do you want to do everything to the glory of God? That's what we're talking about here. Now, you're going to take time imperfectly to work that out. One example would be your language. Do all to the glory of God. Here's a bunch of verses. I'm not going to overcomplicate. I'm just going to give you a bunch of verses regarding what comes out of your mouth from Scripture, and I'm going to let God begin to speak to you if this is one area of your life where you need to consciously choose to speak to the glory of God. So here's some verses. We looked at this one last week, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. No corrupting talk. We said that's the picture of that was rotten food, rotten meat. When you speak, what kind of atmosphere, what kind of taste do you leave in people? Right? We talked about that at length last week. Ephesians 5:4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. James 3, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I'm just giving you the verses from the Word of God. If you desire to glorify God by what comes out of your mouth, take these verses. Memorize these verses. Apply these verses. That's what you do. That's sanctification. Right? And it's kind of uncomfortable because it's a call out. You know? But that's how we grow. Amen? That's how we grow. Right? Proverbs 25:11. I shared this with the ladies at Teen Challenge. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. I love that. Right? The other verses maybe are a little bit negative and a little bit painful, but I gave the women at a Teen Challenge, if they wanted, I gave them these little gold ornaments, kind of like gold apples. And it was a reminder. We put that verse on there. I said, you know, what comes out of your mouth can be like beautiful jewelry. It can be valuable. It can be attractive to people. And it was so great. I said, take one if you want. I think every one of them took one as a reminder that when they go throughout the day, is what's coming out of your mouth like a fine piece of jewelry? Like an apple of gold setting, right? And I share that with you again, and this is just one area. One area. Do all to the glory of God. Some of us today might literally say, okay, Lord, today I want it to be with my language. Awesome. Some of you, that might be a fairly quick, because now you're aware. Others, it might take time, because what comes out of your mouth has become habitual. Habitual. How many of you as believers have caught yourself with the old person speaking at times? And you're like, nope. You know, I don't know, Reagan, you're in construction. When you miss the nail and hit your thumb. Or you're, yeah, I don't know what you said when that happened. Praise God. I'm sure he was like, all to the glory of God. This finger injury, it's an awareness. God's grace can handle our human sanctification process. Amen? What he wants is his children to desire at the heart level to honor and glorify Father, to rightly represent him to the world. That's the core of this. It's not meant to be, you know, do all to the glory of God and us become the spiritual po-po and, oh, how could you do that? That's not the heart of this. The heart of this is, I'm a child of God. I want to live as a child of God so that my Father gets the glory. Amen? Right? How many of you are parents? Your kids grow up and they succeed in some things. How many of you are proud papas and proud mamas? Anyone? You ever had that moment? You're like, that's my boy. That's my girl. Right? And you kind of celebrate them even manifesting things you taught them. Right? And you're kind of like, I didn't even know they were listening. And they picked it up from you by watching you, by listening to you, by practicing things, by you diligently working with them. And suddenly they get it. And you sit back and you're like, my goodness, how cool is that? Right? They become sort of a mini-me. Well, in many ways, do all to the glory of God. It's like, just be mini me's. Desire to be mini Jesus. Rightly represent him in the totality of your life, right? 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that, again, term of purpose, you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know that word declare can mean advertisement. You and I are supposed to be walking billboards. By our life, we are to advertise, declare the praises of him. The question is, what kind of advertisement you been? Because you're advertising all the time. The question is, what kind of advertising right? William Barclay says this, "The great message of Christianity to every man is that it is where God has set us that we must live out the Christian life. The circumstances may be all against us, but that only makes the challenge greater. Christianity does not offer us escape from circumstances. It offers us conquest of circumstances." What is that conquest? Glorifying God in the middle of it. That's how you conquer it. You choose to glorify God in the midst of trials and tribulations, right? Another way of saying this that we've talked about in years past, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted right now. You are planted somewhere in your home situation, in your financial situation, in your friendships, in your relationships, in your age. You are all planted somewhere. Bloom there for the glory of God. Bloom right where you are and see what happens in you. And see and be joyful that God uses you right where you are planted. Because my guess is there are people around you that will be impacted for the kingdom if you start to bloom. Change your tone, change your attitude, change your words. Just watch. Watch what happens. 1 Peter 2:12, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and do what? Glorify who? God. It's about glorifying God. It's all about Him. Greatest joy, greatest purpose you can have, I can have, is to glorify God and to put your head down on the pillow and say, Lord, man, I hope you were glorified today. Or thank you that I got to glorify you in that situation. Right? Billy Graham, "We glorify God by living lives that honor Him." Simple. Right? Even Jesus, look what Jesus says. "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." Even Jesus was about glorifying his Father. Jesus says, "I have not come to seek my own glory." This is not about me. And here's the other thing too. This is not about the church, meaning this is not about the well. Everything that happens here at the well should give glory to God. I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. The well, this church at 1290 Grand, is not trying to be the biggest, baddest anything in the Ojai Valley. What we want to do in every ministry here, every time we're together, in the smallest details to the biggest event, is glorify God. That is our heart here. It's not about any one personality, any one ministry. Everything we do here at the well is designed to glorify God. Period. God should get the glory. Period. And if we do that, we're united. It's when we all want a little big piece of the glory, and I want a piece of the glory, and I want no one's appreciating me, and da 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 da. That's when the flesh comes in, that's when the enemy comes in, and that's where there's disunity. Because we get into the flesh. The truth is, we should all seek the same thing, the glory of God. When people come here and they have a wonderful experience, oh, you guys are so friendly, oh, I like the music, oh, you know, you're teaching, whatever they say, you know what? You should say praise God. Point them that way. Say thank you and praise God. That lights my fire when someone tells me, oh, yeah, there were visitors here, and they really just felt like so they were loved here and welcomed here and we're like family here. I just say praise God, because we're just being what we're supposed to be as a church. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. And as we do that, God gets the glory. Amen? Where it rightly belongs. Where it rightly belongs, right? I like this little poem, little quote thing that attributed to various people. It says this, "You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do, by the things you say. Others read that gospel, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you?" I love that. Because according to you, does God get the glory? Are you living in such a way that your life is actually unexplainable because it's the grace of God in and through you? He's changing the way you speak. He's changing the way you think. He's changing your priorities. He's changing how you treat one another. He's changing your marriage. He's changing your relationship with your kids or whoever. He's changing how you approach work. And you sit back and you're like, Lord, thank you that I get to glorify you. That is the ultimate purpose. Glorifying God in whatever circumstance you find yourself. Okay? And so, like I said, it's 11 o'clock. And we're kind of done. Except now the work begins. Now the work really begins. You're like, oh no, keep talking, because you know, the more you talk, the less I have to think about my life, you know. No. Now the work begins. Jordan, let's put up 1 Corinthians 10:31 again. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is that your purpose? Is that your heart? The band, you can come on up. I want to give you just a moment in the simplicity of that verse to have a time of honest prayer before Father. And if you find yourself sitting here having compartmentalized the sacred and the secular, the big and the little, if you've not recognized that you're in the aquarium with me, if you've not recognized that everything is to be done to the glory of God, maybe this is a time for you to kind of ask Father to forgive you. So ask Father to forgive you. And then ask Father, again, it's supernaturally simple, remember, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by his grace, to change your heart, to change your perspective, to say, Father, man, I didn't realize. Father, forgive me. And Father, I need you to change my heart, because there are some things in my life that I still consider mine. And there's some habits of the old me that just come out, and it doesn't glorify you. In fact, I know it's wrong. In fact, I feel really bad when it happens. And yet, Father, today I didn't realize that the victory comes in desiring to glorify you in the area. That if I choose to be sanctified and transformed in this area, it's not just victory for me. It gives you glory, Father. There's a bigger purpose. And so I'm just going to give you an opportunity to pray and have some time with Father regarding doing all to the glory of God. So, Father, thank you for our time this morning. And it's a simple verse. It's a simple truth. But, man, is it weighty. Whether you eat or drink, whatever I do, I am to do all to the glory of God. I am to let my light shine before others so that they may see my good works and give glory to you. Father, I just come before you right now in all honesty and transparency. There's nothing hidden from your sight. And Father, I confess the areas in my life where I have not been living for your glory. In fact, if I'm honest, I've been living for me. I've been living for me. My desires, my wants, what's comfortable for me. It's been about me and not you. So, Father, I confess this. I admit it. It's sin. And I ask for your forgiveness. And so, Father, you say that whatever I'm to do in my life is to be to your glory. So, Father, help me to appropriate that truth. Help that truth to sink into my heart, my very being. And help me to understand how to do that. I need your grace. I need the Holy Spirit. I need you, Father, to radically transform my perspective, radically transform my words, radically transform my heart. And instill in me this great desire, this burning desire to do all for your glory. And then give me the courage to make tangible change. Empower me by your grace and Holy Spirit to make tangible change in areas I know that do not glorify you right now. Just give you a few moments here. Just talk to Father.
We're going to sing a song called All Glory Be to Christ. And the reason I picked this song is the chorus is really an anthem. And the chorus can be a declaration, your personal declaration, that everything in your life will be done to the glory of Christ. And us as a church, as we sing it as a church family, that it's our anthem here, that at the well, all glory be to Christ. Amen? Let's stand together and let's sing this song.
Our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house. In vain its builders strive. To you boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes, it's on all Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. His will be done. His kingdom come on earth as is above. Who himself our daily bread, praise him the Lord of love. Let living waters satisfy the thirsty without price. We'll take a cup of kindness, yet all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. When on the day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be a steadfast light, and we shall e'er his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
All glory.
All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
You may be seated.
We're about to receive communion as a church family. In the spirit of today's message, everything that we eat and drink, we do to the glory of God. Keep it supernaturally simple. So being supernaturally simple, I want to communicate, as Scripture tells us, that this ordinance of his church, one of only two, the other being baptism, is something that we do as a church family. As often as we do this in remembrance of him. It is for the believer, for the committed believer. And keeping things supernaturally simple, that supernaturally simply means that Jesus is Lord of your life. It doesn't get more simple than that. You needn't have gotten up and walked down the aisle, kneeled on the altar, talked to the pastor, said a special prayer. in your heart, you need to have reached out to the Lord and said, I surrender command to you of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. Proclaim you are Lord of my life. And then we repent from our sin and we produce fruit. That's what the rest of us see. We can fool one another, but we can't fool him. That's simple. Very simple. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to get up and come forward and grab the elements and return to your seat, at which time I will pray for our communion meal and we will take it together as a church family. The simple act of getting out of your seat, and if you cannot, raise your hand, we'll make sure that we bring the elements to you. But participating in this communion is proclamation that Jesus is Lord of your life. You cannot get up and come forward, take the elements, return to your seat, participate in the prayer, consume the elements, which are representative of Christ's body and the blood he shed for our salvation, and not call him Lord of your life. Only he knows this. As we celebrate together, the worship team's going to play. Please come forward now and return to your seats, and we will bless this meal and take it together. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he distributed the bread amongst the disciples. And he said, this is my body, symbolically, to take it in remembrance of him. Following, he passed the cup. He said it was symbolic of his blood in the new covenant, and to take it in remembrance of him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence as we partake of your ordinance and as we remember you. Father, we ask that today's message and many that have sown seed before, if it's made a difference in someone who was uncommitted to you prior to this, to today, that they'd let us know. They needn't come forward, Father. You know that. It's a decision made in one's heart between the individual and yourself. Repentance follows, and production of fruit follows, Father. And we thank you for the illustration that you give us in Scripture, that we could identify and know one another as they've made you Lord of their life. Amen.
Thank you, Randy. We're going to close with a song many of you are familiar with, and it's a great song in light of the message, because living to the glory of God should be a joyful thing. Amen? Don't turn this into a negative, like, oh, I'm such a failure, I'm such a loser, I don't do... No. Right? This song called Amazing Love speaks to God's I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. It says, amazing love, how can it be? And then it says at the end, it's my joy to honor you in all I do. It's my joy. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
It's our joy to honor God. Amen? Come on, don't let the enemy get in there and condemn you and accuse you. No, you leave here joyful for the privilege to honor God. It's our joy out of a response of his grace, his forgiveness. Our name is written in the book of life. Heaven is our home. We're new creations. Now we leave here, and it is our joy to honor him in all we do. Amen? Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, come on, it's a joy. Turn to the it's a joy. All right, let's stand together.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you.
Amen? Let's go honor him. We got eat and drink in the other room right here. So have donuts and coffee to the glory of God in the fellowship hall. God bless you. Have a great week.
Your river runs of love for me. Now we'll open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. Now we'll daily lift my hands. For I will always sing up when your love came down. I could sing of your love.